As I share this podcast with you, I am overwhelmed by the amount of needs that Americans in particular at this time have. I recorded this podcast with two of my friends about Hurricane Harvey right after that had happened, and as we were recording the podcast, the news of all of the devastating wildfires in California and the West Coast were just coming to light. And now, as I'm recording this intro to go with this podcast to send to my podcast editor, Hurricane Irma is set to hit the United States pretty soon. By the time you listen to this, Hurricane Irma either will or will not have hit the United States, and this is how fast these emergencies are descending upon our country right now. I know this is an unusually busy hurricane season this year, and we've added in the fires in the West. And that's just what I know about the United States. There are all kinds of emergencies that are happening all around the world that I'm not seeing on my media. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the news. All I do is on my iPhone. I scroll to the left and I look at what the news says is the top four stories of the day. That's all I do. I don't really watch news at all. What I know is that emergencies and emergency situations are a guarantee in life. You will not go through your entire life and not experience some kind of emergency. You may not experience a natural disaster, but you will experience some kind of emergency where you need to leave your house quickly, where someone needs you to come to their aid and advocate for their medical or financial needs. And at some point in your life, someone will probably have to do the same for you. They will need to know your medical history. They will need to know where your money is in order to best meet your needs for you. A few years ago, a friend and I put together the financial and medical organizing binders that you can get on Organize 365. And I created those as printables. And then this spring, my graphic designer turned them into editable PDFs, which means that when you download these files, they're full color files, they can be printed out and put in a binder and you use a pen to write all the information on that and keep it in a binder. That's what I plan on doing. Or you can download these documents to your computer and open them up and actually type the information right on the beautiful printable on your computer and save it as a digital file. I will probably do that second. I'm a very paper-pencil girl, so I will print them out, find all of the information, and then I will save it as an online document. What I thought about when I saw everything happening in the whole basic city of Houston underwater was that all of that important information that everyone is keeping in their filing cabinets, whether or not it's organized in the filing cabinets, cannot be carried out in the middle of a flood. All of those papers are ruined or gone, and all of the information on that paper is gone as well. So often we keep things in filing cabinets because that big packet of papers has two or three salient pieces of information on them that we need. So the financial and medical organizing binders help you pull that salient information onto one printable sheet, or it's a set of sheets, but one packet of papers, so that essentially all of the important information that's in your filing cabinet is on these printable pieces of paper. Then you could grab a 2-inch binder that has each family's medical history and all of your financial information in a binder. No, you won't have all of the actual physical documents, but you will know who has your insurance policy, what's the name of the company, what's their email contact, and what's your policy number. With that information, you can recreate whatever is in your filing cabinet. Also, in the financial organizing binder, a lot of the information is not even in your filing cabinet. When I needed to care for my father and then subsequently handle his estate after he passed, there's a lot of information that you need to know that is not on a piece of paper anywhere. What is your driver's license number? You have that information, but it's not in a filing cabinet. So part of filling out the medical organizing binder and the financial organizing binder is going on a scavenger hunt and finding all of your important information in order to keep it in one place. So yes, these are products that I sell. The medical organizer is $18 and the financial binder is $28. So together that is $46, right? Still haven't done the math. Pretty sure it's $46. But if you go to organize365.com/Harvey And by these two organizers there, 100% of that $46 is going to go to the Avondale School in Houston, Texas. So one of the things our family likes to do with our donations is to support special needs children. And the Avondale House in Houston supports the autistic community and other special needs children and adults in the Houston area. And I know that when tragedy strikes, that it is often the charitable donations in that area that rely on the generosity of others that stop receiving some of those extra funds because the need of the city is so great. I almost feel guilty that I've picked a place in Houston now that I know that there is so much need in California and most likely in Florida and on the East Coast by the time you're listening to this. But this is the partnership I've decided to do. I know that this will be a worthy cause. I know that you need to make these medical and financial binders for your family. I don't need to receive the money for it. So the money that you will be paying for these organizers that you and I both need to do, you'll hear in the podcast, I haven't even done mine yet. I'm printing it out today. I'm going to get it done. We never know when tragedy is going to strike, but we know it is eventually. So let's get prepared. Let's get these organizers, let's get them filled out, let's get our 2-inch binder ready with all of this stuff printed out. So if the inevitable happens and you need to have someone care for you, you need to care for someone else, or you need to leave your house in a hurry, you can grab this binder and know you have 90% of what you need in order to survive whatever emergency situation that you're in. That link again is organize365.com/Harvey. Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Let's talk about goal setting. This may not be your favorite thing, but it is my favorite thing. It is my favorite thing, maybe even more than organizing, possibly. I love goal setting. Like, I remember as a kid setting goals. I always set goals. The only problem with the goals that I set is that they are BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals. Like, oh, this will not surprise many of you, especially my mother. So when I was a sophomore or junior in high school, whenever Princess Diana was getting married, because my sister and I were reenacting that, I wanted to be four things. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to be a business owner, like I wanted to own my own business. I wanted to grow all of my own food from scratch. And you know how much I hate cooking now, so that's hilarious. Like vegetable gardens and like homeschool my kids. And I wanted to be president of the United States. And you know what? My parents never said I couldn't do any of those things. I believe my mom did caution me on trying to do all four at the same time, but she never said I couldn't do any of them. So I grew up with these big, hairy, audacious goals and these delusions of grandeur. And I never believed and I was never told that I couldn't do anything I set my mind to. As a matter of fact, my mom bought me a set of audio tapes, like she's very much into learning as I am, called Where There's a Will, There's an A. I never forget, I didn't get through all of the tapes, but I always had this floating B or C on my, well, I had a floating C on my report card because I had all A's and B's. I was not a straight A student. And we found out my junior year in high school that I have one of the forms of dyslexia. Did you know there are 600 different forms of dyslexia? So I have one of them, and I have compensated to the point that they said I really didn't need remediation, or I guess there really wasn't anything at that time they could do for the kind of dyslexia I have, which is why I just hire editors. And you'll know when I outsource putting things on Facebook because it'll all be spelled correctly. So if you're in any of my groups, you know, like I'm just typing and voice texting and there's all kinds of grammar and spelling errors. It's just part of me. I don't even worry about it. Like I just don't even worry about it. But I do have delusions of grandeur and I have really high expectations for myself and others around me. When I was in student teaching, after I graduated, or when I was in the process of graduating from college, I was told I had unrealistic expectations. In my first year of teaching, on my report, it said unrealistic expectations. And as a matter of fact, Children's Hospital told me last year that I have unrealistic expectations for myself and my daughter. And I'm like, no, I don't. So I have unrealistic expectations, which means the goals that I set, I have never achieved a goal that I set right after I set it, like in the time frame that I set it, because the goals that I set are so big, they take extra time or extra resources or extra personal development in order to achieve them. I would say one of the really big goals that I set that I did achieve was last summer, 2016, when I said at the beginning of the summer, I was going to publish an Amazon number one bestselling book by the fall. I did. The Mindset of Organization is an Amazon number one bestseller. And then in the spring, I said I was going to publish my second book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization. And that one too was published within 90 days. And they both are Amazon number one bestsellers. How ADHD Affects Home Organization actually has sold over 5,000 copies. And there is someone from Amazon contacting me to put it on a new platform that they have. I actually have her name, her phone number, and her email. So like it's like a real Amazon person, not even like a robot emailing me, which is super cool. That totally exceeded even my own big, huge, audacious goals. But I set really, really big goals. I remember when I told you guys in May of 2016, I was going to have a published book by August. And I remember a couple of concerned Organized 365 readers emailing me privately saying, you know, it's okay if you don't get it published by August. And do you think you've bitten off a little bit more than you can chew? And are you sure you can publish a quality book that fast? Because we're not used to people setting and achieving really, really big goals. And almost all of the goals that I set are these really, really big goals, which means that a lot of times I make huge strides towards my goals, or I make a lot of progress in my business, but I don't actually get the bozo button that says you achieve that goal. I was listening to a podcast. They were talking about entrepreneurs, and they talked about how entrepreneurs are always chasing the elusive goal. Like as soon as they get close to the goal, they extend the goal or they make the goal bigger so that they keep chasing after the goal. And that's for sure me. Like whenever you're reading about people that are goal setters like that, it's me. And I know that that's not typical, normal, whatever you want to say about entrepreneurs and people like me. Like we just chase after goals. And I remember hearing someone say, you know, some people, and I am one of these kind of people, just like to have something to go after. It's like, it's not even about achieving the number or the goal because we just make it bigger. We just make the goal bigger. I'm never going to achieve all of my goals because I'm just going to set another one. I'm like, yes, I achieved that. Okay, next goal. Like it's just how I am. I just want the next goal. So when I think about teaching you about goal setting, and if you are like most people who don't set those kind of goals, you think of people like me as goal setters and you go, oh, heck no. First of all, I don't want to grow my own vegetables. I don't want to homeschool my children. If you think I want to be president of the United States and all at the same time, like I always knew Lisa was a little crazy, but for sure we can just, you know, sign her up, check her in. Like she should be checked in somewhere. And I probably should be checked in somewhere. That is not goal setting. That is vision casting, dreaming, being a futurist, being like, I don't know, whatever it is. It's not exactly goal setting. So I heard on James Wedmore's podcast this idea of good, better, best goals. I was like, huh, good, better, best goals. That's such an interesting concept. And the basic idea is that you have a goal that you want to achieve. And in that goal, whatever my big goal is, there are three levels that you can achieve. You can achieve a good goal, a better goal, or a best goal. And I am always setting best goals and not achieving the best goal. So I feel like I haven't achieved the goal, where along the way, I have achieved the good and better goal. I just never set them. And in the online space, I've seen most of these apply to like a dollar amount you want to earn or you know, very number oriented things. And I'm not going to give you those examples because this is an organizing podcast. So I'm going to give you a lot of good, better, best goals as they relate to organizing your home. So when you think about your home right now and you are trying to get organized, I am repeatedly saying to you that I am a functional organizer. I am not a Pinterest organizer. Our houses are not going to look like Better Homes and Gardens by the time we're done. What I am doing for you is I am setting up the expectation that we are going to reach a good or better, not a best goal. Not that it's necessarily best, but if you look at organization or you were to classify organizing as a whole, you could say to declutter a space, well, that would be good. Like you need to declutter a space in order to organize. So that's good. We need to declutter the space. Better would be to functionally organize that space after it's decluttered. So not only is it decluttered, but now we can find the things. So it is organized. It is better. Best would be if everything has brand new containers and they all match and the room is interiorly designed and the magazine could come in and take pictures. So as far as looking at your room, you could say decluttered is good, organized is better, looking like an interior designer is best. That might be your designation. And then you decide where along that continuum you're happy. Are you happy with decluttered? Are you happy with organized? Are you happy with interiorly decorated? Good, better, and best. Here's another example. When you are looking at your laundry, if all of the laundry is clean, that's good. If all of the laundry is clean and put away, that's better. And if all of the laundry is clean and put away and your closet is organized, that's best. Good, better, and best for clothing organization. Specifically, when you're going to look at organizing a space, let's say we're going to organize kitchen drawers. We could say good would be that you decluttered everything in those drawers. Better would be that you put in some organizers to divide those drawers. Maybe you used cut up Ziploc bags or cut up cereal boxes in order to divide those drawers to see if that organization was going to work. And then best would be going out and buying the brand new organizers that would perfectly fit in that space and perfectly organize that drawer. Good, better, and best drawer organizing. Now, I think this is really, really important. I have often said that it takes three times going through a space to really get it organized. And I think as I think about this good, better, and best goal setting, that applies a lot to the 100-day home organization program. So for those of you that have been through the 100-day home organization program two or three times, I'm sure you're going to be able to say, oh yeah, that is definitely what I'm doing. The first time you go through each space, you really get your good organizing done. You declutter. You're like, you know what? I really don't need this. I don't need that. And you declutter. But at the end, you realize it's decluttered and I guess it's more organized, but you don't have any organizers in the drawer. The second time through the 100-day home organization program, you might buy a few organizers or you might repurpose where things are located or use homemade organizers in order to make the space look better. And then the third, fourth, and fifth time through, you go ahead and invest a little bit each time in the kind of organizers that you have and maybe in a little bit higher quality of the things that you're keeping. Good, better, best. Let's talk about the podcast last week where we downloaded the organizer from organize365.com/plan. If you downloaded that organizer and you went ahead and you did the activities, that is good. That's really good. Like that is yay, good. You went ahead and you processed through that and you did it. So what would be a better outcome would be if you had actually done that and you had added one new activity to your morning, afternoon, and evening routine, or you had fleshed out what that first hour of work looks like for you. That would be a better goal. And what would be best? What would be best is if 6 to 8 weeks from now, when you look back on that list, you realize that you implemented 80% of those changes that you said you were going to do with that one new morning, afternoon, evening thing and your 1 hour of work time to show that you'd actually implemented that. Let's talk about paper. What would a good goal for paper be? Well, a good goal for paper would be that you actually went around the house and you got the laundry basket and you collected all of the papers for your future Sunday basket. I know a lot of you are there. You're like, well, I collected all the papers. As if like I failed at the Sunday basket because I collected all the papers. No. You did great. You took action. You collected all the papers. They're all in one place now. They're not sorted yet. That's no big deal. Check. You got your good goal done. So what would better be? Better be would be to actually go through those and make your first Sunday basket, either on your own, in a home organizing workshop, or on the virtual workshop. So go to thesundaybasket.com and either read through Organization 101 and do it yourself, or sign up for a $30 workshop. That is better. So what would best be for your paper? Well, best would be actually going through the Sunday basket every Sunday and maintaining and keeping up on that system. Good, better, best. All right, let's jump out of organizing and let's jump into one that all of us women think about, which is weight. Good. I'm currently hitting my good goal with weight. And my good goal with weight is not gaining any more. That is my gold goal. And actually, it's my only goal right now. I'm not trying to lose weight right now. I'm just trying not to gain any back of the weight that I lost a year or two ago. So my good goal is to get on that scale and it's not going higher and my pants still fit. I'm achieving my goal. Isn't that weird? You can achieve goals without technically doing anything. Maintenance can be a goal. So that's my good goal. A better goal would be to lose 10 pounds. The best goal would be to lose, 5 pounds. The best goal would be to lose 10 pounds. That would be personal. When you think about your weight, did you realize that just maintaining the weight you currently have, you're achieving your goal? Well, yeah, you might not be losing any, but you're not gaining any either. Which leads me to my next point, which is it's not just about setting good, better, and best goals, but it's also about not being so attached to the outcome of each of those goals. So I have an awesome, awesome explanation of this for you. One of my goals for September was to go on a date with my husband 4 times. Like, we've kind of gotten out of the routine of date night over the summer, and I thought, you know, we really need to reconnect. We need to start going on date nights. And I was doing a Facebook Live in the 100-day home organization program. I do those on Monday nights. They're so fun. And I was running through my goals because somebody asked me about goal planning in the calendar. And I said, oh, date night, I have not done that goal. And I moved on. I thought about that later. I thought, that just seems so odd. Like, I feel like I've done that goal, but I haven't done that goal. So I really thought about it. And I thought, oh, it's because how I did it has changed. Up until this point, date night with my husband means my husband and I get in the car, we go out to dinner, we come back. That is a date. Or we go to the Funny Bone, or we go to a movie. We go somewhere, we come back in a couple of hours, just the two of us. That is a date. What actually happened in the month of September was very odd. None of these things have happened in a long, long time, but 4 of these things happened in September. Number 1, we went to a wedding together. Well, that's a date. Number 2, we went to 2 parties. We went to a 50th birthday party, and we went to a party from a church friend who had just a bunch of friends over, a dinner party. So we went to 2 parties. Well, those are dates. And then we went out, we missed a 50th birthday party, so instead we went out to dinner with the couple later. Well, that's a date. I didn't say that the date had to be only Greg and I. The point was that Greg and I got in the car, we went somewhere as a couple without children, and we came back. That did happen 4 times in the month of September, but it did not happen the way that it used to happen, which was where we physically just go to a dinner and come back just the two of us. In every single situation, we were with other people, which is fine. It's still a date. So sometimes we set our goals and then we compare if we achieve that goal based on either an ideal that we have in our head, or how we achieved that goal in the past, or based on Facebook, how well someone else achieved that same goal. If you're in the 100-day program and you're looking at how somebody else's kitchen drawers look, as opposed to just keeping your eyes on your own paper and looking at your own drawer before and after pictures, then sometimes we can negate the progress that we've made. Another great example of this, and this is a financial one, but this may make sense to some of you, is that Natalie Ekdahl and I of BizChicks, Natalie's awesome, We are biz besties. And so we're always talking about our businesses. And at one point, I had a financial goal in my business. And I did a couple of things online to launch some different products. And I did not make my income goal in the launch that I did. A launch is like when you sign up for the 100-day program, I only give you a couple of days to join that program and then it's closed again. That's called a launch. That's what online marketers call a launch. So I did not earn the income that I thought I would during that launch. But at the end of the month, I had earned the income that I said I was, my goal was for the launch. And Natalie said, you achieved your goal. Like it just didn't come how you thought it would come. It came in podcast sponsorships and coaching and all these other things. And so the target goal I had of this financial number was hit. It just wasn't hit the way I thought it would be hit. So I want to leave you with these two thoughts. Number one, when you are setting a goal, I want you to think of what would be good, better, or best. And the best way for me to think about it is good. Like good means this has to happen. If this doesn't happen, then I did not meet this goal. Better is this is what I really want to happen. Like this is what I'm striving for. And best is if the sun, moon, and stars all aligned and I won the lottery and my husband came home in a tuxedo and we went off to Paris, that goal would be met. Cause you know, that's about how big my big goals are. So good, better, and best. A great example would be in your organizing. Good is you can walk through every room in your house. Better is your house is functionally organized. And best is your house is decorated the way you want it and your house is as organized as you want it to be. You have reached your best goal. Good, better, and best. So when you're thinking about your goal, what you're really setting is the medium one. This is the one I really want to accomplish. But I want you to stretch yourself to make a best goal and reduce that goal to a good goal. Like, okay, I want all of my drinks to be in the drink cabinet, like Lisa says, but if I just declutter everything and I have only what I use, want, and love for drinks, then that is my good goal and I have achieved my good goal. Better goal is that it's all in one cabinet, like Lisa talks about. And the best goal would be that I actually rebuy new mugs or whatever it would be for you. Good, better, best. Then I want you to be not attached to the outcome of whatever your goal is. Now it's a little hard for organizing because pretty much your physical, in 99.9% of the cases in home organization, you are going to be doing the one that is organizing. So you really are attached to how that is going to happen. But here's a good example of how maybe it would be different. Let's say one of your goals is to get organizing done this week and you don't feel good. Like you just don't feel good and you take the weekend off or you go out of town or something and you come back. And when you come back, one of your kids has decided to totally clean and organize their room. Hey, you got organized. You're just not the one who did the work. Or I love Denise Duffield Thomas is a money mindset coach. And I love how she talks about money and income coming into your life. I know that money is stressful for most people. Like, stressful if you don't have it. And I think if you do have it, you're worried about losing it. So money is just stressful for everyone. And I love how Denise talks about, again, this idea of not being attached where the income is coming from. You may think, if I have this garage sale, I'm going to be able to earn $400 and then I'm going to be able to buy blah, blah, blah for my kids. And you may have the garage sale and only make $200. But then you might get a $200 rebate from your electric company based on a class action lawsuit or a whatever. Like, and all of a sudden you get this money in the mailbox. And often we tend to think that, oh, well, that's cool because they send it out to everyone. But really, it's you achieving your goal. So you have financial goals, you have organization goals, you have personal goals, marriage goals, parenting goals, all these different goals. And I want you to go ahead and set them. Set your good, your better goal. Set your goal. Accept your good goal as a win and your best goal as what you're striving for. But be happy with your better goal and don't be so attached to your goal coming in the time frame that you have for it. I know I haven't. Some of this may be a little out there and you guys are like, I don't even understand what she's talking about. But I have been doing a lot of mindset work lately, and I know that there is an energy to life There is an energy to stuff. There is an energy to money. Don't worry, I'm still a Christian. But there, everything has energy, like matter and energy and Einstein and all of that stuff. And there is an energy to your thoughts. And your thoughts can produce action that you physically don't produce. So you may not feel good and you may sleep all weekend and find out that one of your kids has organized their bedroom. Or something else happens that still moves you forward on your organizational goal. Maybe you don't feel good and you've been in bed all weekend and your husband has decided to get rid of some exercise equipment or furniture or something in the house that you've always wanted gone, and he actually got rid of it while you were in bed. And that is going to help you down your organizational journey. So don't be so attached to making sure you do every single day of the 100-day program or in the exact order or any of these things. You are making so much progress personally on productivity and organization, and just your focused attention on getting better in these areas is going to produce huge dividends. So don't be afraid about goals. I want you to set good, better, and best goals. All right, I'll see you guys next week. Well, I really don't have anything to add to that podcast other than I'm just weak inside thinking about the tragedy that so many are experiencing right now through these natural disasters. You will never, ever hear me say, it's just stuff. Yes, I help you declutter. I help you organize. I help you figure out what is your amount of stuff that you want to have in your home. But everything in your home, whether you've decided to declutter it or not yet, whether you're organized or not, is your stuff. And when you lose your stuff, there is a loss there. I know it's physical items, but you will never hear me say it's just stuff. What I will say is we need to be prepared and we need to organize our Sunday basket first and foremost so we stop paying our bills late and know where different pieces of paper are. The amount of sanity that a Sunday basket brings you is like enormous, and you could do that for free. I talk about the Sunday basket so much. I mean, you're probably hearing it in the middle of the night. The Sunday basket. I need a Sunday basket. Make a Sunday basket. Use my financial and medical organizers or create your own and just go through your paperwork and write down the information that you need. Fill out a password book so that you know what all the passwords are to everything that you have access to, so that someone has that in the case of an emergency. We all want to think this is not going to happen to us. And who has the time? I mean, nobody has the time to go sit down and go through your filing cabinet to write down all of the salient information, which when you need that, you could just go look it up until you can't. And so I'm using these natural disasters to urge us to take the action we want to take. We want to have this organized binder. We want to have a Sunday basket. So use this encouragement to do that. The money will benefit the Avondale House. If you don't want to do that, but you do want to give to the Avondale House, if you go to organize365.com/Harvey, there is a donate button. It does not go into my bank account. That button directly links to the Avondale House website, and you can make a direct donation there outside of the Organize 365 community. We all need to do our part to support everyone. And the way that I know that you can do that, even though it seems really odd, is to get yourself ready for the next emergency so that you can be a help instead of needing to be rescued yourself. I'll be back with you next week.